the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation, at the 11th through the 15th verses. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. These words that I have just read to you are a description of the last judgment. It is a description that is in the highest degree interesting, because it is something in which all of us are intimately and personally concerned. For all of us who are in this place tonight, without any exception whatsoever, are candidates for eternity. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or evil. And this is something which admits of no uncertainty. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Oh, how we have seen, even in our own midst during this past year, the certainty of the first part of this asseveration, that it is appointed unto men once to die. For though we are a small congregation, we have had young and old taken out of our midst. We might cast our eyes around this church and see pews that once were filled and now are empty. Some of our members have bidden us an eternal farewell, and they shall no more return to us, but we shall go after them into eternity. Young and old, we think of Mr. Boonstra, Mr. Moore, Mr. Fossey, Mrs. Vanderkoy, Mrs. DeVries, Mrs. Hugowitz, and little Robert the Hay, old and young, and they have gone into eternity. They have flown, just as a dream disappears at the waking day. None of us need be in any doubt that it is appointed unto men once to die. But what then? After this, says the apostle, the judgment. There is no decisive event after death before the day of judgment. Death is a decisive thing. And then there is nothing more decisive until judgment. And that is the last decisive thing, because the decisions which will be taken upon that day shall be decisions of finality and of certitude. Surely then it behooves us, on a day such as this, the last day of the old year, to think for a moment of the last day of all days, the great day of judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die, and then after this, the judgment. And if with the eyes of faith we could but consider the solemnities of that great day, we should be full of awe and of fear. And there would arise in our hearts a thought to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, to endeavor to be prepared to meet God. Well, in order to help you to this, I want to consider with you this description of the last judgment that we find at the conclusion of this 20th chapter of the Revelation. And I want to speak particularly of three things. I want first of all to speak of the throne and of the judge. In the second place, I want to speak of those who shall be judged. And in the third place, I want to speak of these books that are mentioned and the sentences that shall be passed. First of all, then, as God will grant his indispensable aid, we shall consider the throne and the judge. John tells us, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. A great white throne. It is a great throne, because the whole world of men shall be gathered before it and assembled around it. It is great because of the sentences which shall be passed from it, eternal sentences. But it is great especially because of him that sits upon it. The greatness of the throne is to be found in the greatness of him who sits upon it. One who is here described as causing the heavens and the earth to flee away, so that the inhabitants thereof can find no place in which to hide themselves. A great throne, but it is described also as a great white throne. And it is white because of the holiness and the righteousness of the judge. Because of the righteousness of his judgments. Paul told the Athenians, as he stood upon the Areopagus and addressed his cultured audience, that God had appointed a day in the which he shall judge the world in righteousness. The same apostle tells us in the second chapter of his epistle to the Romans that the judgment day is called the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. It is a white throne, because he that sits upon it shall judge the people with perfect righteousness and with equity. He shall say to the righteous, "Come, ye blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for you of my Father before the foundation of the world." And he shall say to the wicked, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into the lake that is prepared for the devil and his angels." And in his pronouncement, it will be seen that he judges with perfect righteousness and equity. There will be none to gainsay the sentence, for all will be constrained to acknowledge its absolute justice. Yea, every mouth shall be stopped, and the whole world shall become guilty before God. I saw Sir John a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. Who is it that sits upon the throne of judgment, upon this great white throne, before whose face the heavens and the earth flee away? It is he of whom it is said that when he shall come in flaming fire, and with his holy angels, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ, that at his coming the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll, and the elements of the earth shall melt with fervent heat, so that there will be no place for men to hide themselves, so that they must be summoned before this great white throne. And who is that but the Son of Man? For Jesus himself has told us, the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And Paul tells us that God has appointed of the day in the which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. It is Jesus Christ that shall sit upon the throne of judgment at the last great day. And who but he is so peculiarly fitted for the work of that day? Shall men be judged? It is a man that sits upon the throne, one who is flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone, one who knows what is in men, not only as God, but also as man, because he is man. But he is not only man, he is also God. He possesses the attributes of omniscience. He knows what is in men. He can read the secrets of the heart. His eyes are flames of fire that will search out the secrets of men's hearts, so that all shall know and acknowledge that his judgment is righteous, that his pronouncements are just. This work was committed to him as a reward for his suffering, that he who was judged of men and crucified upon the cross shall be the judge of men. that he who humbled himself should be highly exalted and given a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And oh, how terrible this will be to the wicked, when they shall see him coming in the clouds of heaven. All the tribes of the earth shall moon because of him. When Paul reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come to that wicked man Felix, Felix trembled. And oh, how shall men tremble, not only with apprehensions of judgment, but when they see the judgment day having come. When the brethren of Joseph had come down into Egypt and stood before him, and Joseph said to them, I am Joseph, whom ye sold into Egypt. We read that his brethren were troubled at his presence. But oh, what think you of men? Shall not they tremble when he that sits upon the throne shall say, I am Jesus, whom ye nailed to the tree, and whom you crucified. I am Jesus, whom ye refused, whose blood you despised, whom you spat upon. I am Jesus, about whom you thought little and cared nothing. And oh, how shall this cause wicked men to tremble? We read that when they shall see his sign in the heavens, that they shall call upon the hills to cover them and the mountains to fall upon them, to hide themselves from the presence of him that sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the day of his wrath has come. But oh, if it shall be a terror to the wicked, what unspeakable comfort it shall be to the righteous, to the redeemed. For when the day of wrath and the righteous judgment of God shall dawn, and when the great white throne shall appear before an astonished universe, and they shall see the judge descend and sit upon it, whom shall they see but Jesus, their Redeemer and Savior, he who came from heaven, who shed his precious blood in atonement for their sins, who clothed them in the robes of his perfect righteousness. He who was not ashamed to call them brethren, who loved them even unto death, who has given them all things needful for salvation. It is their Savior that sits upon the throne, their Redeemer, the one they have come to love by divine grace. Oh, what a comfort it shall be for the elect of God to know that the judge is their best friend, that the judge is also their advocate, one who has pleaded before the Father's throne for them. It will be unspeakable comfort to the children of God amidst the awful solemnities of that day to know that the judge is the one who was their Savior. And how comforting will that be to the redeemed. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the heavens and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them, except before the great white throne. For, secondly, we read, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. We have here a description of those who shall be judged. The dead, small and great, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There will be no exception. The sea will give up those that were in it. The graves will open up and give up those that were in them. Death shall give up its inhabitants. Hell shall give up those that are in it, so that the whole universe will be assembled before the great white throne, the dead, small and great. Civilizations of which men have long since forgotten, but which God has not forgotten, shall be assembled before the great white throne. Small, the insignificant, those of whom men have never heard, shall be there, and also the great, men who caused the earth to tremble, who made men to fear them, who were regarded as being great by men, they shall be there, and all history shall come before the judgment of God, and everything shall be adjudicated with perfect righteousness and equity. And every person and everything will be put in its proper place. Oh, what a solemn thought it is, isn't it? That all of us shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Pastor and people, elders and deacons, men and women and children. We shall all be there. Oh, what an assembly that will be. The dead, small and great, standing before God. And then in the third place we read the books shall be open and sentences passed. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. What are these books that shall be opened by the judge of all the earth? Well, the first book will be the book of God's remembrance, the book of God's omniscience. For every thought that has ever been thought, and every word that has ever been spoken, and every deed that has ever been done, has been recorded, has been written down in a book of God's remembrance, and one day it shall be opened, and all shall be brought to light. David speaks of this, comforting himself. His tears are in God's bottle. Are they not in thy book? He says to the Lord. The prophet Malachi tells us that they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him. But it's not only the thoughts and words and deeds of the saints that are recorded, but also the thoughts and words and deeds of the wicked. The book of God's remembrance. Oh, my friends, every thought that you have ever thought, every word you have ever spoken, and every deed performed has been written down, and one day all shall be made light. things that you never dreamed that men would hear shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Secret thoughts shall be brought to light before an assembled universe. And things that we have thought and said and done, which we would blush now, if each other should know, shall be proclaimed before God the judge of all, before the angels of God, before an assembled world, and before the inhabitants of the infernal regions, the devil and his angels. That which has been spoken in secret shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. All shall be made manifest. Sometimes the children of God experience a time when it seems that God sets their sins before them, sins of youth that have been seemingly cast into oblivion and forgotten, things that they had done many years ago of which they now had no remembrance. Sometimes the searchlight of God's Holy Spirit shines upon their past life and sets all their sins in order before them. And oh, what a terror that is to them. How it causes them to mourn and to grieve, to humble themselves in the sight of God. Oh, what shall it be when every sinful thought and word and deed shall be brought to our remembrance and held in present consciousness? Oh, then it will be seen how it is that every mouth shall be stopped and all the world shall become guilty before God. Nothing shall be overlooked. A cup of cold water given in the name of the disciple is known above shall be brought to light and shall be rewarded. Every idle word we must give an account for. And this not only for the wicked, but also for the righteous. We must all appeal before the judgment seat of Christ. Even the sins of God's people, though judicially forgiven, shall be brought to light and made manifest before the eyes of men. And in this, God will get glory to himself, in showing his unspeakable mercy, in declaring that they are blotted out, that those sins that have been registered and made known have been pardoned through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The books shall be opened, the book of God's remembrance, but also there is another book that shall be opened. And that is a book that we all may read. This book, which is now before me, out of which I am now speaking unto you, the Word of God. It shall be open, and we shall be judged according to the tenor of God's holy and infallible word. You may read this book. You may read of these things that are going to take place. You may read of what we need if we would stand confident in the day of days. God has given unto us this word by which we shall be judged. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the judgment of the heathen who have not the word sent, as many as have sinned without law shall perish without law, but as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Wrong gospel shall afford the judgment by which we shall be judged. All men make their own standards. They compare themselves one with another and discover their folly. They set up their own standards, their own imaginations. But yet God is going to judge us according to his revealed will. He is not going to judge us out of the book of his decrees, out of the book of life. We shall be judged according to his revealed will, according to law and gospel. The secret things belong unto the Lord, the revealed things unto us and to our children, that we may do them. And this book will be opened and our lives compared, and out of it we shall be judged. Oh, then how you should treasure this book. How you should search the scriptures. How you should read it with trembling. How you should read it with prayer, begging God to open your eyes, to understand it, to love it, and to obey it. This book is able to make you wise unto salvation. And if it does not accomplish that, it will show you to be a fool unto condemnation. God has given this book. Beg of him for his spirit, that it may be a means to your salvation and not your condemnation in the day of day. But there is another book that shall be opened, the Lamb's Book of Life. This is a glorious book, a book that is sealed, a book that no human eye has ever rested upon. There is only one who can look upon the pages of this book and read the names that are recorded there. That is the eyes of God himself. It is his book. Belongs entirely to him. It is the Lamb's book. Indeed, it is called the Lamb's Book of Life. But at the day of judgment, this book that has been sealed hitherto shall be opened. And then it will be made manifest. Before men, that all God's purposes with respect to his elect have been perfectly fulfilled. As he sits upon the throne of judgment, with the wicked on his left hand and the righteous on his right hand, a question might be raised, who has caused these to differ? For the sins of the one are as black as the sins of the other. And all will be traced to this Lamb's Book of Life. Here is the source of the salvation of those on the right hand. It is because God in free and sovereign mercy took pen, dipped it in the blood of his son, and recorded the names of a countless multitude, that he should save out of the fallen race of mankind, to make them vessels, to glorify the riches of his free and sovereign mercy. And oh, what infinite consolation this shall be to the righteous. Then there will be a universal cry, salvation is unto our God. There are men today who attribute salvation in part to God and in part to man. And in their folly they proclaim these errors abroad. But in that day, when the Lamb's Book of Life is opened, it will clearly be seen that which the children of God are made to realize in this life, that salvation is of the Lord. That those on the right hand are on the right hand because of God's free and sovereign grace, because of his electing laws and distinguishing mercy. And oh, how this will cause their hearts to overflow with joy. For they who deserve to be on the left hand, who deserve to be cast into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, are to be found upon the right hand, and to be welcomed into the presence of the Father with unspeakable joy. And to those on the left hand, as this book is opened, the names are read out of those that are upon the right hand. It will cause them too to realize that God, their judge, is sovereign in heaven and in earth, that the potter whom they despised has power of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. It will be manifest that God is sovereign, who doeth according to his own will in the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth, and no man can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And those in heaven shall say, we are here because of God's free and sovereign mercy. And those in hell shall say, we are here because of our folly and because of our sin. And all the glory shall be unto our God and unto the Lamb that sitteth upon the throne forever and forever. And then the sentences that shall be passed. Come, ye blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared of you for you of my Father before the foundation of the world. Enter ye into the joy of your Lord. And to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And upon what should that sentence be based? It shall be based according to men's works. Marvel not at this, said Jesus. The day is coming in the which that all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Come, ye blessed, depart, ye cursed. God shall judge every man according to his work. Whether they be good or whether they be evil. Oh, let me conclude by asking you this. Are these things true of which I have been according to our works according to the things that are written in the book. Oh, then let me ask you, are you prepared for this? If God should summon us before his judgment throne this night, what sentence do you think should be passed upon you? Would you hope to hear him say, "Come, ye blessed"? Or would you think that you should hear him say, "Depart from me, ye cursed"? What do you think the sentence would be? Oh, the blessedness of those to whom God by his Spirit speaks pardon through the blood of Jesus, who before God could only acknowledge that through his unspeakable grace they have been given a hope. A hope which shall never make them to be ashamed, that one day they shall hear those words of Jesus, "Come, ye blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for you of my Father before the foundation of the world." All the blessedness that is there. For Christ Jesus will appear not only as their judge, but he will appear to plead for them. The Apostle Paul, speaking of Christ coming in judgment, a little later in that chapter in which he speaks of this, goes on to say, "Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. And I say unto you, the thought of God coming in judgment is a source of unspeakable comfort and consolation for those who have been reconciled unto God by the blood of Jesus. For in that day, Christ shall appear to plead for them before his Father. He told us, them that shall confess me before men, those will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven, and before the holy angels. But him that shall deny me before men, him shall I deny before my Father, and before the holy angels." And oh, what will it be if Christ, the judge of heaven and earth, shall come and plead our worthless name before his Father, and say unto his Father, "This is one that was given to me of thee before the foundation of the world. This is one that I loved even unto death, for whom I shed my precious blood. This is one of my redeemed." Oh, to think that he will own our worthless name before his Father. And not only so, but he will vindicate the children of God before men. The world was never worthy of the faith. The world always persecuted them. Their life in this world was one of trouble and much perplexity and trial upon trial. Their enemies slandered them. Their enemies twisted their words and made them into lies. Their name was reproached and made a byword amongst the heathen. that God shall arise to vindicate his secret ones. And he shall vindicate them from all the false accusations that have been brought upon them. And this should be a source of great comfort and consolation for the elect of God. This is the way Moses comforted himself when they charged him of being ambitious and in pushing himself forward beyond others. He said this to his own soul tomorrow, will the Lord show who are his? And the children of God may have been called hypocrites, but God shall make known who are his, and shall vindicate them from every tongue that was raised against them and falsely accused them. He shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. He will even take notice of their unworthy deeds, which he shall reward out of grace. To their astonishment, he will say to them, "I was an hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. Sick, and ye visited me. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And he will grant unto them the kingdom prepared for them of the Father before the foundation of the world. A kingdom in which there is no more sickness, no more disease, no more infirmity, no more death. A kingdom wherein dwelleth righteousness, no more sin. The days of warfare will be ended. There will be an eternal farewell to that corruption which polluted all their thoughts and all their words and all their deeds. Perfectly sanctified, made righteous, they shall be ushered into the presence of God, there to worship him, there to enjoy the comfortable sense of his favor throughout the endless ages of eternity. And surely that is a source of infinite consolation for the children of God, even for those that are least in grace. For the Lord will not despise the least of his people. The Lord will not despise the lambs of his flock. But with infinite tenderness, he will also look upon them. And if grace be true, though it may be weak, it shall be honored of him who granted it in the day of days, so that all the elect of God shall rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, what think you, children of God? There's a day coming, a day not for hence, when we shall be delivered forever from sin. Oh, if I know your heart, I know that you've been brought many times upon your knees with a cry of, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" You've been made to loathe yourself in your own eyes, and you've wept in secret tears of which the world has no cognizance. There's a day coming when God shall wipe away all those tears, when all sin shall be destroyed, and we shall rise to the full and glorious liberty of the children of God, to enter into the joy of the Lord. Did you ever taste his love in this life? Did you ever know what it was to feel his smile upon you? How infinitely glorious that was, though but for a moment. And what think you, when we shall enjoy this to all eternity. The face of God no longer hidden by a cloud, but looking upon us with infinite love and tenderness, the joy of the Lord. Words cannot describe it. If we may believe that one day we shall stand before Him, the great white throne, the judge of heaven and of earth, King Jesus, and He shall own our name and shall say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, into the joy of your Lord." Oh, then meditate upon this until the comfort and consolation of the Scriptures bring hope renewed and invigorated into your souls. But oh, what of those who have no such hope? We either have a hope or we have no hope. What would it be if you this night should be summoned by death into the eternal world, then before the judgment of the great day, without a hope in Christ? Oh, think, my friends, of what it shall be to stand before God unprepared. As the tree falls, listen to these awful words, "Firm it shall lie." There is no work, nor repentance in the grave whither thou goest. Death, a decisive event, and then the judgment. That if we go through death unprepared, we shall stand before God in the judgment unprepared. We shall hear His voice, "Depart from me, cursed, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." Oh, think what it shall be as each one of us is brought before the throne. And I who have preached to you, and you to whom I have preached, shall see one another. And oh, what a comfort it shall be if I see some of you on the right hand. But oh, what shall it be if I see some upon the left, and I must rise up in swift witness against you, and I shall declare to my Lord, "Lord, I was faithful. I brought unto them thy word. I warned them of these things. I preached unto them the gospel of thy grace. But they would not hearken to my word, and they hardened their hearts, and thus they are unprepared." And oh, what shall you say then? Oh, think of how many times you have heard the three overtures of the gospel during this past year. Sabbath after Sabbath. I recall last year, standing in this pulpit at the end of the year, my text was, "Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men." And some of you went into the new year, still refusing God's counsel, hardening your heart, despising the blood of the everlasting covenant. And do you mean to say that you've gone through a year of Sabbath, of preaching after preaching, and you're no nearer just where you were, indeed in a worse condition, perhaps more hardened, perhaps more careless, perhaps more indifferent? Once you are moved, now these things do not move you anymore. Being ripened for hell, is it? Oh, let this newborn year sound an alarm abroad and cry in every careless ear, prepare to meet thy God. I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it. And I saw the dead, small and great, and you young men, and you young women, and older ones too. Your hearts may be in the world, but one day you shall stand before God in judgment. And these things which now you hear, you shall hear again. And that either to your eternal bliss, or to your eternal confusion and woe. But need it be that? We are yet in the day of grace. This is the day of full salvation. And once more, in his providence, God has granted me the unspeakable privilege of bringing to you the glad tidings of salvation. For he that shall one day sit upon the throne now stands before you with arms outstretched. Before the deluge of God's wrath shall sweep the earth, he stands as an ark, and his voice is raised to the sons of men, and he bids you enter while you may. Forsake of sin, turn and live, come unto him, and he will have mercy and will abundantly pardon. What will your answer be this night to the voice of divine love that entreats you in the preaching of the gospel? What will your answer be? I know not, but yet I take you to record this day that I have set before you life and death. Therefore, I beg you, choose life for Christ the Redeemer's sake. Amen. O Lord, we pray thee to bless thee, the word, unto the hearts of young and old. O we pray thee that we may be made to realize that thou dost command all men everywhere to repent, for that thou hast appointed a day in the which thou shalt judge the world in righteousness by that one that has been ordained. O Lord, we pray thee then, that as thou hast in thy mercy forewarned us of this, and granted unto us the knowledge of thy truth, grant also, sovereign God, unto the hearts of many that repentance, that godly sorrow over sin, that we may mourn, that we may weep, that we may put on sackcloth and ashes, that we may say unto thee, Lord, what wilt thou have us to do? And that thou wilt grant through thy Spirit, we may be drawn unto Jesus, be found in him, our hearts sprinkled with his precious blood. O Lord, grant this may be the portion of all, for thine own name's sake. Amen.